Well, tell me something about Thomas Barker. I don't think we should concentrate so much on the tragedy of his early death here today as to celebrate the works which he did leave us. And you folks all knew him well. What was it that you attracted you to the man and to his music?
Well, I know for me, he really pulled all of us as students at the Manhattan School into his music. And he had very large works. They were very difficult. It took, it challenged all of our skills, as conductors, as musicians, pushed our technical prowess on our instruments to the limit. And, he wrote fantastic, meters and fantastic, metric changes that It was very interesting. I remember Harvey Solberger, after we played the Oboe Concerto, which was a 17-minute work, I think 14 people. Harvey said it was magnificent how the whole thing ended up as a kaleidoscope of sound and colors, and how easily it flowed out of the ensemble. Where if one was to look at the original score, it was an incredible challenge to interpret.
Mr. Hall, as a fellow composer, what attracts you to the work of Thomas Barker?
Well, among other things, was his devotion to the rhythmic proportion of music. In other words, his all of his work that I knew was designed so that the proportional aspects were done with enormous care. He used various kinds of time-pointing schemes which related his pitch material to rhythmic, overall rhythmic patterns. As a consequence, his music has a clear overall shape, which I have always respected.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Hoyle, you actually played and commissioned works of his. What was it that attracted you to his music and made you want to play it?
Well, I met Tom through a mutual friend, and after I got to know Tom a little better, he and I would spend countless hours in his apartment just talking about music, talking about modern music and, you know, contemporary music in particular, because I've performed quite a bit of contemporary music, and he would always want to know my opinion as a performer of all aspects of playing contemporary music, be it from, you know, which composers I liked, which composers I didn't like, why audiences responded certain ways to different composers' music. And so Tom and I basically just became very good friends, and at some point I asked him if he would write something for me, and he was very glad to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, like it seems that like many of the composers of our basic generation, he came to music through the guitar and through popular music. He had his own band, the Shuffling Hungarians. Any of you ever hear any of these old tapes?
Let's not categorize the music that he used to play as popular music. He was a virtuoso jazz guitarist, and he was lucky to have some close friends when he was younger that also had incredible technical prowess on their instruments. And the pop music the pop music that he played back then was not what we would really think of as mainstream pop music now. Mm-hmm. It was very intricate improvisation, and it wasn't the sort of thing that you would just improvise to a 12-bar blues for an hour and a half.
So it was always really from the jazz tradition rather than, as with many other composers, from, say, rock traditions or...
Yeah, very much so. And that's one reason why I think that, he was such a creative person as a writer. because he could, he was a very, his mind was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote quickly. And, I think it all goes back to that.
What, was there much improvisation in his later works, or was it fairly controlled?
No improvisation at all. He wrote, he wanted played exactly what was written, and he was very meticulous about it. I had him coach me on the pieces that he wrote for me, and, very demanding, he was a very demanding coach. And like I say, he knew exactly what he wanted, and his musical ideas were very good.
Well, I think it's time we heard some of those musical ideas. We'll start off with some selections from Johnny Skeeky, a chamber ballet in two acts. Now, it's very interesting. Do any of you know why he chose to write a ballet around what, of course, is a rather famous one-act opera by Puccini?
I could speak on that a little. It kind of works in with his early guitar playing and things like that. Tom has a very funny humor about everything that he did. You know, he was a very humorous man. And the story of Johnny Skeeky in a funny way kind of works into the whole scheme of the tour that we did in Belgium and Luxembourg for the Festival of Flanders, which was commissioned by the ambassador Chambers, the U.S. ambassador to Belgium. And the story of Johnny Skeeky somewhat mimics his relationship with her son Jim Chambers also, who and they had this, it was very humorous how the whole story actually worked out with our lives at the time. So it was
So this wasn't really a tribute to Puccini. It was more an interest in the story.
It was an interest in the story, and also Tom's unique way of taking something that was very straightforward and adding his own flair, a very special, unusual flair to it.
Well, let's listen to some selections now from Johnny Skeeky, a chamber ballet by Thomas E. Barker. A reminder, there'll be a benefit concert. All proceeds, by the way, will help defray his medical expenses. And it is a concert which is taking place on Monday, February 15th at 8, that's a week from Monday, at the Symphony Space, Broadway and 95th Street here in Manhattan. And for concert information or advanced ticket reservations, please call area code 718-935-1311. That's 718-935-1311. Let's now listen to some selections, the beginning of Thomas E. Barker's Johnny Skeeky, a chamber ballet in two acts.